From the K-12 High Speed Network in Imperial County, California, this is InfoSec. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of InfoSec, a podcast series for the K-12 public education sector. I'm Dr. Emil Ahangarzadeh. The information provided in this podcast series is intended to increase the security awareness of local education agencies and users, as well as to help them behave in a more secure manner within their work environment. While some of the tips may relate to maintaining a home computer, the increased awareness is intended to help improve your organization's overall cybersecurity posture. This is especially critical if employees access their work network from their home computer. Today we're going to look at ransomware and find out what it is, whether or not we should pay said ransom or not, and take a look at some protective measures to take to protect ourselves from ransomware. So ransomware is, It's a special type of malware that's actively spreading across the internet today, threatening to destroy victims' documents and other files. It's malware. And malware is just another way of saying software or a computer program that's used to perform malicious actions. Now, while ransomware is just one of many different types of malware, it's become pretty common because it's incredibly profitable for criminals. So once ransomware infects your computer, it encrypts certain files on your entire hard drive. And then you're locked out of the whole system. Or you can't access your important files like your documents or videos or photos. The malware then informs you that the only way you can decrypt your files and recover your system is to pay the cyber criminal that's locked up your stuff a ransom. Now, most often the ransoms must be paid in some form of digital currency, like Litecoin or Monero or Ripple or Ethereum, but Bitcoin is the one that most people have heard of. So ransomware spreads in many ways like other types of malware. The most common method involves emailing victims some malicious messages where cyber criminals trick you into opening an infected attachment or clicking on a link that takes you to the attacker's website. There are two classes of ransomware. One is called crypto, and the other is called locker. Crypto ransomware is as simple as weaponizing strong encryption against victims to deny them access to those files. So once the ransomware infiltrates the victim's device, the malware silently identifies and encrypts valuable files. So then the target files are accessed, and restriction gets put onto them, and that's when the ransomware asks the user for a fee to access their own files. Without the decryption key that's held by the attackers, or in some cases a vendor decryption solution, the user loses access to the encrypted files. Crypto ransomware often includes a time limit too, meaning that you have to pay the ransom in a given time frame, and if you don't, then they just delete your stuff. Some variants of crypto ransomware even provide users with a site to purchase bitcoins and some help articles explaining what Bitcoin is and how it works. Now, locker ransomware, it doesn't encrypt your files, but instead it denies access to your device completely. It locks your interface and then it demands that you pay the ransom to unlock it. Now, this ransomware is going to leave you with very few capabilities, like allowing you to pretty much just communicate with the attacker and to pay that ransom. So the question is, should you pay the ransom? That's a tough one. The problem is that the more often people pay these criminals when they're infected, the more motivated criminals are to infect others. On the other hand, you may have no other option to recover your files. But you got to watch out, because even if you do pay the ransom, there's no guarantee that you're going to get your files back, because you're dealing with criminals. They may not decrypt the files, or even if they do provide you with the decryption method in exchange for payment, Something may go wrong during the decryption process, or your computer may be infected with additional malware. Plus, if you pay, more often than not, you want a list for other ransomware criminals to know that this guy paid. So you become even a bigger target. In fact, criminals go to great lengths to post fake testimonies about successfully decrypting files in order to persuade victims to pay up. Now, 2 years ago, the FBI advised folks to just pay the ransom. But today, they've changed that advice. The FBI recommends that you not pay the ransom. The best way to recover from a ransomware infection and not pay a ransom is to recover your files from backups. This way, even if you get infected with ransomware, you have a way of recovering files after you rebuild or you clean your computer. But keep in mind that if your backup can be accessed from your infected system, ransomware might delete or encrypt your backup files. So it's really important to back up your files to a reputable cloud-based service or to store your backups on external drives that aren't always connected to your system. In addition, a common mistake that a lot of people make with backups is to assume that it works without testing whether they can actually recover their files that are being backed up. So be sure to regularly test that your backups are working and confirm that you can actually recover them, your files, the files that you need, should your system become infected with ransomware. Backups are really important as they help you recover when you accidentally delete files or your hard drive crashes or you get hit with ransomware. Now, the backup solution that I use personally for my personal device is called Carbonite. It's a cloud-based solution. They offer unlimited storage for me, continuous backups, and full disk backups too. So basically anything that I save onto my device is trickling up to the cloud in real time without having any effect on my system. And so I don't have to even think about being backed up because I'm constantly being backed up. I pay about $55 a year for it. But there are a bunch of other solutions that are pretty good too. Like there's a good solution called iDrive, one called SOS Online Backup, and a good one called Crash Plan you might want to take a look at. They're all really good systems, and they all cost about the same thing. But for your schoolwork, if your IT department hasn't already deployed a backup strategy for workstations or laptops, you might want to take advantage of G Suite's Drive. Now, most school systems nowadays have Google Apps for Education, which is now called G Suite. And Google's G Suite offers schools and districts with unlimited storage. And because they do, it makes G Drive, Google Drive, a really good choice for your work backup solution. Now, keep in mind, your district is going to need to set up a G Suite education account if you don't have one. And you certainly can't use your G Suite Drive account for backing up your personal files, just ones that are associated with your work. But here's how it's done. The trick is to download what's called the G Suite Drive Utility to your device. Just do a search for it, G Suite Drive Utility. And what it does is it adds a special folder to your hard drive that acts as a two-way conduit. So any files or folders that you put in that file are going to get synced automatically to your G Suite Drive in the cloud. And any files or folders you add to your G Suite Drive are going to get synced back to that special folder on your personal computer. And it's also available for Mac, obviously Windows too. So once you download and install the G Suite Drive utility, you sign in with your G Suite account. And this is where a lot of people mess up because what you have to do is you have to make sure that you're signed in with your school's Google account, not your personal one if you have one. Your G Suite Drive will open up immediately in an Explorer window, allowing you to peruse all the documents that are currently stored there. So now G Suite Drive is accessible as a folder on your hard drive, and it's available under your username in the Explorer hierarchy and in your Explorer favorites list. Now, when I say Explorer, I'm not talking about Internet Explorer, the browser. I'm talking about the internal Explorer function on Windows. So now you can drag any files or folders to this Google Drive folder to have them backed up to your Drive account. So for example, if you currently save all of your, let's say your Word files to documents in your hierarchy, then you would simply drag your documents folder to Google Drive. So just remember that next time that you start your documents folder, you'll need to access your files via Google Drive, because that's where that folder will be, not the previous location. And make sure you save new documents in that new folder so that they get synced to Google Drive. Now, you can protect yourself from ransomware infections in the same way that you would against any type of malware. Don't get infected. And that starts by making sure that you have up-to-date antivirus software from a trusted vendor. The problem is that most antivirus software don't natively protect against ransomware attacks. But there are some systems out there that provide some interesting protection solutions for ransomware attacks, and we'll look at those in part two of this ransomware series. Thanks for listening, everyone. InfoSec is brought to you by the Cybersecurity Education Program, a service of the Technical Assistance Professional Development System, administered by the K-12 High Speed Network and funded by California Assembly Bill 104. The Cybersecurity Education Program provides state-of-the-art cybersecurity awareness curriculum for all California K-12 public education agency employees at no cost. For more information, visit k12tapped.org/CEP. That's k12tapd.org/CEP. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for more cybersecurity information. We're at Tapped Security.